we are ready for argument, and appellate counsel may commence.
Good evening. May it please the court, counsel, and distinguished members of the bar who are in attendance. I'm Elizabeth Moran, Pryor Johnson, Carney Carr Nixon, registration number 16119. I'm representing the plaintiff's appellants in this case. Just briefly, this is an action that is basically a state securities law action, along with common law tort claims, arising out of the plaintiff's investments in joint ventures that were promoted and sold by the various defendants out of their Colorado-based operations. Most of the claims are state securities law claims under the Colorado Securities Act, analogous provisions of several other state securities act, along with some common law tort claims, as I mentioned. We're here on the trial court's ruling dismissing the case based on a forum selection clause. The defendants all moved for dismissal under the Edge Telecom and Adams Reload cases, contending that this case could only be brought in Texas in Dallas County pursuant to forum selection clauses, two different forum selection clauses in the application agreements and the joint venture agreements.
But those clauses, while different, it seems to me in my reading of them, both waive or designate Texas as the jurisdiction. They also designate Texas law. Is it your position that both of those sides of the provision are before us, or are we just talking about the forum selection provision?
We're talking primarily about the forum selection clause. The trial court's order is not crystal clear on this, but does seem to admit that Colorado law can be applied in a Texas court.
Can we apply Colorado law in a Colorado court if there's a choice of law provision that says we'll hear it under Texas law?
Are you speaking, asking in reference to the interpretation of the enforcement of the forum selection clause?
Yes.
Yes, I think because the forum selection issues are determined by the law of the forum state rather than the law of the designated forum. That's not been addressed really in any of the briefs, but I believe that is the rule. Particularly because in this case, what we're asking is for the court to look particularly at the exception to enforcement of forum selection clauses based on a clause, the enforcement of which would contravene a strong public policy of the forum state.
Ms. Moran, if I might ask you about that, if I recall correctly, nine of the causes of action out of 19 or 20 in the amended complaint were based upon securities laws from California, Illinois, and Vermont. Is that correct?
I believe it's about nine, yes, Your Honor.
If that's so, then how does that square with the general thrust of your argument that it's important to vindicate the public policy behind the Colorado Securities Act?
Well, each of those other state securities laws, I believe, I know for certain Vermont and California also have anti-waiver provisions, so the analysis would be the same there. What Colorado does is to provide a forum, because these defendants are operating in Colorado, for plaintiffs wherever they are to vindicate their rights under the Colorado Securities Act in Colorado.
Well, I understand that, but that's why I'm asking the question that I am, because it doesn't seem that that concern would extend to the nine claims for relief that are based upon the laws of the other three states.
The laws of the other states are closely analogous, and I think that, you know, of course, this was dismissed very early on in the proceedings, and which theories would ultimately be pursued primarily is not decided yet. But I think Colorado certainly does provide a forum here for vindication of rights under the Colorado Securities Act, and provides a forum for all these plaintiffs who reside in different states to come into Colorado, which Colorado should have an important interest in policing securities operations within its own state. The trial court here found the clauses enforceable. And I think in looking at that issue at this level, I think both sides agree that the starting point for this analysis is what the U.S. Supreme Court stated in the M.S. Bremen case, and that's that forum selection clauses are prima facie valid as a matter of contract law, but they should not be enforced if enforcement would contravene a strong public policy of the forum state. The forum state here is Colorado, so we are looking at Colorado public policies. Public policies can be found in statutes. Public policies can be found in judicial decisions, and we have both here. First, in the statute, we have the Colorado Securities Act, which is a remedial act for the protection of investors, provides a private civil action for investors to sue for securities law violations, and contains an anti-waiver provision that precludes enforcement of any agreement that purports to waive compliance with any provision of the Colorado Securities Act. Now, we don't have any recent law interpreting that anti-waiver provision in Colorado. What we do have are several fairly recent cases which look at anti-waiver clauses in similar remedial statutory schemes, namely the Wage Claim Act and the Wrongful Withholding of Security Deposits
Act. And doesn't the Wage Claim Act provision specifically affect the solution there?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end of your question.
Doesn't the Wage Claim Act cases, which you refer to in your briefs, and which you just mentioned now, aren't those, isn't there some specific provision in those which affects their disposition?
I don't think so. In the Wage Claim Act, at least it's not significantly different from the Securities Act. In the Wage Claim Act, what it says is that it refers to any court having jurisdiction over the parties. And what the Supreme Court in the Landon case and the Morris versus Financial Towers case, the Court of Appeals in that case, found was that that means that the Wage Claim Act provides a right to bring a court, an action in Colorado courts, even though it does not say Colorado courts. Neither does the Securities Deposit Act have specific language saying you have a right to bring an action in a Colorado court, but it has been interpreted that way, and that was in the Ingold versus Aimco Bluffs case.
What do you say about Judge Davidson's opinion in the telecom case?
With respect
to proper procedure to follow.
The proper procedure, I think that is, that does spell out the proper analysis to go through. There was a dispute over whether it was a 12B1 issue or not, and that analysis, I think, was basically followed in this case in terms of procedure.
It was the trial judge's.
With the conclusion, yes. What the trial court did and what the defendants rely on here is federal law. Federal interpretations of primarily the Federal Securities Act. What is extremely different between Colorado's view of anti-waiver clauses and the federal view of anti-waiver clauses is found in the Landon decision. One of the main cases the defendants rely on here is the Rodriguez de Quijas versus Shearson case, where under the federal securities laws, the court held that those laws and the anti-waiver clauses of the federal security law only refers to substantive provisions of the act and provides no protection for the procedural mechanisms of the act. What Colorado courts have specifically ruled is that, at least in the context of the similar schemes under the Wage Claim Act and Security Deposits Act, is that those statutes provide procedural rights to sue in Colorado courts, and the anti-waiver provisions of those acts, which are similar to the Securities Act here, prevent waiver of those procedural provisions as well as substantive provisions of the act. And that is the critical distinction in this case.
Ms. Moran, what is the Colorado public policy that would support applying the Colorado Securities Act in Colorado to plaintiffs who are not from Colorado?
The Colorado Securities Act protects investors anywhere who are harmed by a violation of the Colorado Securities Act. In fact, the Securities Act creates or provides for long-arm jurisdiction. Any violation of the Colorado Securities Act, according to 1151706, constitutes a transaction of business in Colorado for the purposes of the long-arm jurisdiction statute. The statute also has shown us that it's very important to allow a suit in Colorado because it makes sellers or anyone offering securities in Colorado, they must irrevocably consent to have the commissioner of the Colorado Securities Division be their agent for service of process. The long-arm jurisdiction provision and the service of process provision are meaningless unless it permits people to effect service in Colorado and have their suit in Colorado courts.
Well, I'm not sure they're necessarily meaningless given the defendant's position, as I understand it, that distinguishes between the forum selection clause and the choice of law clause. They say, why don't we litigate this case in Texas and then the Texas court can apply Colorado law?
The answer to that is found again in the Lambden, Morris, and Ingold cases, is that those courts recognize under similar statutory schemes that there is a right to bring the action here in Colorado and not to have to be whisked off somewhere else to have Colorado law applied. I think what's instructive about...
They're not conceding that Colorado law would be applied in Texas, are they?
They are not. They're saying that there's no reason the Texas court couldn't apply Colorado law. It may or it may not, and we just don't know the answer to that. I think looking at the trial court's order, it kind of goes back and forth about whether Texas law would apply or Colorado law would apply. Certainly, we're entitled under the Colorado Securities Act not to have Colorado law waived in that fashion. We're not certain if it would happen if we got down to Texas, but we don't know the answer to that.
Basically, Ms. Moran, your view is that the enforcement of the forum selection clause would deprive the plaintiffs of their day in court. Is that correct?
Their day in Colorado court, which is what they are entitled to under the Colorado Securities Act.
In your brief, you say that Texas wouldn't hear this case.
There would be some
under its statute.
Under Texas law, it would not be covered by the Texas Securities Act because that governs only securities offered from or sold within Texas.
And would be subject to a motion to dismiss there also?
A claim under the Texas Act would be, I'm fairly certain. I'm getting fairly close to my time. I'd like to take any questions the court has or otherwise reserve the remainder for rebuttal.
Go ahead and reserve.
Thank you.
Hope that works, but we don't guarantee it.
Thank you very much. May it please the court. My name is Andrew Shoemaker. I, bar number 26710, I represent HEI Resources, Mr. Cagle, several other entity defendants, and I'm taking the lead on behalf of these other defendants this evening. Unless the court asks otherwise, I'm going to address two issues largely raised in the reply brief. The first is the interpretation of the anti-waiver clause under the Colorado Securities Act, in particular the differences between the Colorado Securities Act anti-waiver clause and the anti-waiver clauses discussed in the Wage Claim Act and the Securities Deposits Act.
Before you get into that, tell me, why did the trial judge go through this exercise of, at the very outset of her opinion, in order rather, come up with the conclusion that the 12b-5 standard and then ignored it for the rest of her order?
All I can say, Your Honor, is that I believe she correctly followed the Edge Telecom procedure.
Well, I know she did. That's what she. But why?
Why did she? Because that's what the Supreme Court required in the Edge Telecom case.
The Supreme Court or the Court of Appeals?
The Court of Appeals, Your Honor.
Thank you. And that was an opinion by Judge Davidson?
Yes, Your Honor.
I thought so. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. The other issue I will get to briefly is the standing issue to the extent with respect to all defendants having standing to assert the forum selection clause.
Let me ask you the same question I asked opposing counsel. Does this order, in your view, include within its gamut the choice of law provision that's contained in these provisions?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think that this. Let me put it this way, that we have conceded that Texas law only applies to the interpretation of the agreement itself. So to the extent that there are issues relating to how this agreement would be interpreted, the court can look to Texas law. However, with respect to the application of things outside of the agreement, for example, the Colorado Securities Act, a Vermont Securities Act, an Illinois Securities Act, all of those things can be applied. We've conceded that, and we believe that a Texas court would apply that, or a Vermont court, or an Illinois court would apply
that. You believe, but do you know whether they would or not?
Based on our concession, we know they would, because we have conceded that those acts apply. And we have conceded that the Colorado...
The fact that you have conceded, would the Texas court follow your concession?
Well, it would be... I think we would be a stop from arguing otherwise, Your Honor. And, of course... As the judge pointed out, the trial court pointed out, Texas law would allow the application of the Colorado Securities Act. It expressly provides Texas law can be applied or other acts, and that's what the trial court noted. With respect to the anti-labor provision, in the face of the persuasive public policy in the Adams Reload case, does the plain meaning of the anti-labor provision prohibit these forum selection agreements, such that the Colorado Securities Act claims can be brought in Colorado? The answer to that is no. The key language we have set forth here, the Colorado Securities Act speaks to compliance with any provision of this article or any rule or order under this article. Compliance means following duties. It means obeying the law. You look it up in Black's Law Dictionary, the definition is obedience. What do you do to obey the law? If you have a security, you register it. You license your brokers. You don't commit fraud. These are substantive obligations under the Colorado Securities Act. There's no substantive obligation, or frankly, any obligation under the Colorado Securities Act that would not be complied with if the parties agree to a forum other than Colorado.
Wait a minute. Let's look at 11-51-101(2), which is the anti-waiver clause of this Colorado Securities Act. Any condition or provision binding any person acquire or dispose of any security to waive compliance with any provision of this article is void. Now, isn't that pretty straightforward?
It's straightforward in that if there's an obligation, a duty to follow, you cannot waive the requirement that people follow that duty, that is, that they follow the law. But the fact, what plaintiff has pointed to are provisions talking about rights that investors may have, a right they may sue, they may plead, there's reference to court. But there's nothing there that is a compliance issue with respect to something that it would be different if it said you must sue in Colorado. Then, addressing your question earlier, Judge Taubman, the plaintiffs would not be complying with the Colorado Securities Act if you must sue in Colorado, or the same act was applied from Vermont, you must sue in Vermont. But the fact of the matter is, they can sue anywhere. You can bring a Vermont Securities Act claim in Colorado, you can bring a Colorado Securities Act claim in Texas.
But Mr. Shoemaker, in neither Lambden nor Ingold, did the court address a specific provision that said you must sue in Colorado, yet both of those courts held that the anti-waiver provision precluded the operation of a forum selection clause and said you have to be able to file a lawsuit in Colorado.
Exactly. And Your Honor, that's because of the difference between these anti-waiver clauses. Turning to the Wage Claim Act, which was the Lambden and the Morris case, which you were involved in, Your Honor, it says you may not waive or modify an employee's rights in violation of this article. the right to sue is clearly a right, whether it's a, it covers, as the court correctly stated, it covers substantive and procedural rights. Compliance with any provision of this article is much narrower than that. It talks about obeying the law. It's focused on the substance of the Securities Act.
But isn't the express purpose of the Colorado Securities Act set out in as follows, to protect investors and maintain public confidence in securities markets while avoiding unreasonable burdens on participants in capital markets. The Colorado Securities Act is remedial in nature and is to be broadly construed to effectuate its purpose. Now, what is the purpose of the Colorado Securities Act?
The Colorado Securities Act is to protect investors and encourage disclosure and registration of securities.
And is it possible that the Colorado Securities Act, the purpose of it, is protected by the anti-waiver protection?
Well, in terms of bringing a case in requiring or mandating that a case be brought in Colorado, no, because it doesn't say that, Your Honor.
No.
It provides that. That's a right.
What about the reference to the Mr. and Mrs. Mather, I think? He's 90 years old. She's 83. They claim in their amended complaint that they are both incompetent. Is that correct? Well, tell me about that.
They argued that in the Rule 59 process before the court below, they did not follow the Edge Telecom procedures with respect to that. To the extent that they are going to demonstrate some sort of diminished capacity in connection with agreeing to a forum selection clause, it was their obligation to ask for a hearing and present evidence. Otherwise, allegations like that, which are made all the time, would constantly defeat forum selection clauses. No such request was made. It came up in the Rule 59 process, and even there, no request was made to present evidence.
Isn't it sufficient under 12b-5 and the standards which the trial court applied there that sufficient allegations in the Second Amendment regarding their incompetence?
Your Honor, the allegations are insufficient according to the Edge Telecom and the Adams Reload course.
Of course, this division does not have to follow that case. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. But we would encourage you to follow Edge Telecom because that is it is an appropriate procedure. And it's one that has been followed by courts now for some time.
But didn't at least some of the defendants in their cross appeal file briefs in this case, which were later waived or dismissed, having to do with accepting the concept of 12b-5?
In terms of defense counsel argued things, there are a lot of defense lawyers here, whether additional arguments outside of 12b-5 or outside of the Edge Telecom process were argued. I don't know. I can say on behalf of our client, we argued the Edge Telecom standard.
Let me ask you a question. My understanding is there's basically three bodies of case law. One is sort of the leading case, or the first case was the California Hall case, that hold against your position and say that these non-waiver provisions prevent the use of forum selection provisions. Then there's a group of cases that may be the same group or slightly different that construe the Uniform Act, the Uniform Securities Act, and they almost uniformly disagree with you. And then there's a group from the federal courts. And I wonder if you can tell me the difference between the first two and the third, why the federal reaches one decision and the state courts seem to reach the opposite.
I can, Your Honor. The federal courts are construing the exact same language we're dealing with here. The state court decisions, and there are state court decisions, in fact, the only decisions addressing a pure forum selection issue in the states go our way. The Hall case involved a choice of law, and that's what that case turned on. It was the issue of they were going to have to use, I believe, Nevada law in that case. And also there was the concern by switching forms that you would lose the benefit of the California Securities Act. And in that case, the parties would not stipulate, and no one would agree that California law would apply in that case. Very distinguishable, Your Honor.
You haven't stipulated that yet here, have you?
We've conceded to that. We conceded to it.
I didn't say conceded. I said stipulated.
We would, Your Honor. And we've put that, and we argue that in the Rule 59 process. But we would argue as well that Texas law clearly provides, if you were in a Texas forum, you could apply these acts, just like in Colorado, you can apply.
Let's go back to the difference between, I appreciate your talking about Hall, but I ask you about the line between the federal cases, which generally agree with you, not perhaps all, and the state cases, which generally disagree with you on different, slightly different facts, slightly different provisions. I understand that. Is there a philosophical line that you can draw that tells me we should apply the federal cases and not the state cases?
Yes, Your Honor. The federal cases are interpreting the same language. Colorado has a policy announced in the Lowry case that says that federal securities laws and interpretation of them are highly persuasive. It would be groundbreaking.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're not giving me a general line, but you're giving me the specific cases on different sides of that line. I just want to know why that line.
The line is different because that case it addressed purely the forum selection issue, which is what we're asking you to address, Your Honor.
There's a choice of law provision here also.
The choice of law provision only applies to, it is much, much narrower. It only applies to the interpretation of the agreement. It does not apply to securities acts.
Mr. Shoemaker, if I could come back to H Telecom for a moment. You and your chart, you were focusing on the different statutory language. However, as I understand it, the plaintiffs in discussing Edge Telecom are relying to a large extent on the public policy behind the Colorado Securities Act. How do we determine what the public policy is behind that statute?
The public policy is the same, frankly, Your Honor, as it is under the Federal Securities Act. And the Federal Securities, in interpreting the Federal Securities Act, the court has come down our way. There is nothing in the Colorado Securities Act. Even if there is a policy in favor of every statute, of course, in Consumer Protection Act, various other acts, but the fact of the matter is there is nothing in the Colorado Securities Act that we would be not complying with if with a forum selection clause.
I don't think you've answered my question with due respect, Mr. Shoemaker. What I'm asking is a more general question. How do we determine what the public policy of the state of Colorado is with regard to the Colorado Securities Act? Do we look to the statute? Is there a legislative history that sheds some light on it? Do we look to other court cases that have interpreted the Colorado Securities Act? Or, as you're suggesting, do we look to federal cases?
All of the above, Your Honor. I think that there's case law. I think there's legislative declarations, including the declaration that you should look to federal law, and then there's the federal law itself. Again, it would be groundbreaking here. There's not a single case the plaintiffs have cited where, when the language is the same, Colorado has interpreted the Colorado Securities Act differently than the federal act, and there's good reasons for that.
Isn't the case, and it may not be. I'm not saying it is, but isn't it possibly the case that the federal cases are dealing with moving the case within federal courts applying federal law? They're not talking about moving between courts that might apply different law.
And we aren't either, Your Honor. Again, the Colorado Securities Act will be applied just as the Vermont Securities Act can be applied here.
And based upon your concession or conceding or whatever is the appropriate word, that the Colorado Securities Act would be applied in its entirety and totality in Texas, if they should bring a case in Texas.
Yes, the provisions of the Colorado Securities Act could be brought in Texas, correct? Yes, Your Honor. All right, thank you.
Mr. Moran, why don't you respond to Mr. Shoemaker's last statement about the Colorado Securities Act being applicable in
Texas? Well, we just don't know, frankly. It could be. I mean, some courts, I mean, there are issues of comity that where courts will honor the laws of another state. We don't know how that will pan out.
Are you saying that you're not sure that if you took a recording of this argument with you to Texas, you win? And Mr. Shoemaker's statement on the record in this court, he stipulated that Colorado law would apply in Texas. That wouldn't bind the Texas court and Mr. Shoemaker or his client?
Well, I think that the Texas court can decide for itself. A Texas court decides Texas law and Texas procedure. And we frankly don't know the answer to that. Really, though, I think that the case really boils down to not whether we could sue or how well we could sue or how good we could do in Texas with this case, but the exception to forum selection enforcement recognized in the Bremen case, and that's look at the public policies of Colorado. Once we divine the public policies of Colorado, we don't really need to look at how Texas will deal with this issue.
Ms. Moran, do you agree with Mr. Shoemaker's response to my question as to how we divine Colorado's public policy?
I don't agree. I think we look to Colorado law to determine Colorado public policy. Federal courts can't tell Colorado how to interpret its own statutes.
If there is legislative history surrounding the adoption of the Colorado Securities Act, would that be applicable?
It would be. I'm not familiar with any in particular on the anti-waiver provision, except that it's been in there since the beginning and it hasn't ever been taken out. Throughout the Morris case, the Landon case, and so on, it's remained exactly the same. And I see I'm out of time. I thank the court very much for its time.
We thank both counsel for their arguments and briefs. The briefs in this case were probably some of the best I've had the joy of reading. The case will be deemed submitted and a written opinion will issue in due course. Now, stepping out of the proceedings itself, it is contemplated that the members of the ends will be